ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् तेजस्विनमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। In order to be contemplative, we must be convinced of the fact that Aham Brahma Asmi. It is not for saying it out that Aham Brahma Asmi, I'm the truth. It is for us to have that vision reflected in our day-to-day life, which itself is the enjoyment of the benefit of that vision, wisdom. So to be convinced, to be contemplative, what you need is, first of all, conviction about the fact. Contemplation will be effortless if conviction of the fact is there. And conviction presupposes repeated listening. Paunapunyena Shravanam. Suppose you're exposed to other schools of thought, then it's also important. If you're not at all exposed to other schools of thought, then what to understand is the Shraddha in Shastram itself is enough for you to be convinced. Because repeated listening itself will give you the vision that it doesn't contradict your reasoning. The non-contradictory understanding of the teaching itself is enough for you to be convinced and to be contemplative also. Otherwise, if you're exposed to other schools of thought, other views, and those views, it will disturb you. It can shake your understanding, means still your assimilation is not there. That is why the mananam itself is a discipline specifically prescribed. Mananam is a discipline specifically prescribed for resolving the doubts raised by people of other views, other schools of thought. So last class, we just took only the Buddhism and how even though there are so many branches of Buddhism, so many sub-schools, school within a school, so many branches are there, wings are there. Still the main four schools alone form the four schools of thought, Nastika Darshanani. So I said the Shunyavadi, otherwise called Sarvartha Mithyatva Vadi, who's called Madhyamika Bauddha. The Madhyamika Bauddha, otherwise called Shunyavadi, who is also said to be Sarvartha Mithyatva Vadi, for whom the world experienced is mithya. Not only the world experience is mithya, even experience there is mithya. Ultimately, there is nothing. Therefore, he is called Shunyavadi. Sarvartha Mithyatva Vadi is Madhyamika Bauddha. So, Shankar Bhagavatpada, actually, many of our acharyas not even consider paying attention to him and then to refute. It's not because when a person says that nothing is here, he denies his own existence. Therefore, he is as good as non-existent. A non-existent thing need not be considered and discussed. And we also saw last class, the first two branches belonging to one school of Buddhism called Hinayana Buddhism. Sautrantika Buddha and Vaibhasika Buddha. Sautrantika and Vaibhasika. These two the branches of Buddhism, Sautrantika Matam and Vaibhasika Matam, these two branches of Buddhism also not taken for much discussion, because they, for them, the world is very real. Why it is real? This, both of them, they belong to one school called Hinayana Bauddha Matam, but still for both of them, the world is real. And why we call them both, why they are of different schools of thought? Because there's slight difference in their understanding. The world, objective world is real because it is available for experience and perception. The way he is called, Sautrantika is called Bahyartha Pratyakshavadi. Bahyartha Pratyakshavadi, because external world is real because it's available for experience and perception. Whereas the Vaibhasikaha, for him also the world is real. At the same time, for him the world is real because it is, he says the world is available for inferential knowledge. How do you infer? Because based on the experience of the world we have, we infer the existence of the world. Therefore, he is called Bahyartha Anumeyavadi. Bahyartha Pratyakshavadi is Sautrantika Buddha. Bahyartha Anumeyavadi is Vaibhasika Buddha. Anyway, both say school, your world is real. And the real means you have to establish where has it come from. And they have to say, talk about a cause. And you have to establish a cause. And they cannot establish, it is impossible to establish a cause. Because the world cannot be proved to be in effect. Therefore, other difficult problems are there. Logical issues are there. The mainly, the last class, spent a lot of time explaining only Yogacara Buddha. Why do we, of all four Nastikavadas, of all those four schools of philosophy, we only took Yogacara Buddha for discussion, because Yogacara Buddha alone is mistaken to be Advaiti. Advaitam is mistaken for Yogacara Buddha Matam. And I also said Shankara Bhagavatpada is unfortunately misunderstood as Prachanna Buddha, hidden Buddha, hidden. He is mistaken. We also saw that last class. The reason is, for them also, the world is not there. The world is mithya. Every object of experience is mithya. And then who is satyam then? The experiencer consciousness alone is satyam. Experiencer is consciousness. Experiencer consciousness is satyam. The objective universe is mithya. This much they are also correct. Until this point, Yogacara Buddha sounds very much like an Advaiti. But where he goes wrong is, for him, the consciousness he's talking about as experiencer consciousness, which he says is a satyam, is that consciousness is manifest consciousness. But according to him, consciousness has beginning. He mistakes the manifestation is taken for origination of consciousness. The important point, manifestation of consciousness is mistaken for origination of consciousness. So therefore, beginningless consciousness, eternal consciousness is mistaken to be having a beginning. That is the main problem there. But he takes manifest consciousness for the origination of consciousness. Then he also believes consciousness has an end also. And every vritti jnanam, the manifest knowledge obtaining in him of a thought, which is manifestation of knowledge, is mistaken for jnanam. Of course, vritti jnanam is taken for original knowledge. And vritti jnanam comes and goes, stays only for a second. Therefore, it is called kshanika vijnanam. Kshanika vijnanam. So this Yogacara Buddha, who is said to be Bahyartha Mithyatva Vadi. Bahyartha Mithyatva Vadi. Advaiti also is Bahyartha Mithyatva Vadi only. But still, Bahyartha Mithyatva Vadi, Parantu, he is a Kshanika Vijnani. He is a Kshanika Vijnani. Why Kshanika Vijnani? He is a Kshanika Vijnana Vadi. Kshanika Vijnana Vadi, because for him, consciousness has beginning, consciousness has an end, consciousness comes and goes. And then, therefore, consciousness is not one. Because it has beginning and an end, it comes and goes. It is not one, there's also many. So many comes, many consciousness, many come and go. That's what he says. That is the main difference between Buddhism and Advaita Vedanta Shastram. Whereas we say, there's the manifestation comes and goes. What is that from where the manifestation comes and goes? And second thing, if the coming and going is noticed, experienced, the arrival of consciousness, the Kshanika Vijnanam, and the departure of Kshanika Vijnanam is noticed. It is known, which means there is a knower, the experiencer, who is distinct from this arriving, departing manifestation. That knower of the arrival and departure of manifestation is pure consciousness, original consciousness. And that original consciousness has no beginning, no end. It's also because eternal means also changeless. And because it is changeless, it cannot be a cause also. So eternal, beginningless, endless, changeless. Therefore, it is not a cause also. It is his consciousness which alone is Satyam. And therefore, because it is Satyam, and the whole Jagat is also Mithya. Mithya means it's only appearance of the same consciousness. Even though the material manifestation, nothing but manifestation of consciousness only. Only appearance of the consciousness. There is no second thing other than consciousness, which is the only Satyam. So Advitiyam Advaitam. This is also made very clear there. And that secondless, the non-dual reality alone is implied by the term Brahma, which alone is said to be Atma. And that is what it has to be claimed as real nature of every being, that it has to be understood. That is what has to be claimed as one's own real nature. Unless and until you claim that consciousness, the beginningless, endless, eternal, changeless, formless reality, the consciousness as one's own real nature, there is no way of seeing the consciousness being the only truth of essential nature of everything also. That is the teaching we saw last class.
Consciousness, as we understand it, Advaita, all that we see around is a manifestation of the consciousness. The reason that we say that consciousness is not the cause, I presume, is because in the normal understanding of cause and effect, if something is a cause and something that follows is effect, the cause undergoes change to become effect. Consciousness, as we understand it, undergoes no change. That is why we say it is not a cause.
Yeah.
Thank you. I just want to say.
Actually, last class I discussed this point also. I think last class, see why Karanatvam and Nityatvam cannot coexist. An important lesson, please listen. Karanatvam and Nityatvam cannot coexist. It's another fact. So what is Karanatvam? Causal status. What is Nityatvam? Eternity. Timelessness. So you said timelessness, eternity, it implies beginninglessness and endlessness. If it is eternal, it cannot be subject to change. It cannot undergo changes. What is said to be eternal cannot undergo changes. does not undergo changes. It beginningless means it has no cause, nor can it be a cause. Why? Because it has to undergo change to become a cause. And it is soft, beginningless, endless. Therefore, it is changeless also. Every class I used to say this. Beginningless, endless, absolutely beginningless, timeless. Therefore, it is changeless. Because it is changeless, it cannot be a cause. Nityatvam, that's why Nityatvam, Karanatvam cannot go together. That is why it is not a cause. Therefore, there is no Karanam. So, because we cannot establish even the universe being the effect. Universe is an effect. We cannot establish. Where has it come from? In fact, nothing is created. Nothing is destroyed. There is a time the universe shines. There is a time the universe does not shine. For the universe is always there. For it to shine, for it to resolve, there must be something, Adhara. Therefore we say, that's why if universe being the effect cannot be established, therefore consciousness is not the cause also. And I told also in the Srishti Prakriya, in every Upanishad, Srishti Prakriya discussed. It's also called Adhyaropa Apavada Prakriya, Karya Karana Prakriya. We give three different names. Whether you call it a Karya Karana Prakriya, Adhyaropa Apavada Prakriya, or Srishti Prakriya. Three Prakriyas are always used in analyzing the creation. So Jagat Vicharaha or Srishti Vicharaha. So in this, in inquiring the existence of the universe, the Prakriyas are used. Upanishad does not say that universe is real. So the very, it's only used as a Prakriya simply to understand the fact that there is no creation. The aim of these Prakriyas is to help us arrive at the reality. Reality in terms of its nature of existence. See, we use the term existence very casually in our day-to-day conversation. Really, existence. Okay, so this chair is existent, this is existent. Anything enjoys existence is existent, we say. Because what is, in waking state, whatever we experience is existent. I am existent, you are existent, he, she exists existent. But the noun, the meaning of the word noun, existence, really speaking, absolutely, we can understand only when you understand actually the creation is analyzed. The meaning of the word existence, the pure existence, without associating the word existence with any form, name or function. You can always say the existence, the chair is existent, means the existence of the chair. Existence of a person. Existence of something. Existence of something means, suppose you say there is existence of a tree. Tree is existent. Tree is. When you say that E stands for existence, and the existence is associated with what? A form. And which serves a given purpose. So, Nama Rupa Karma. Always existence we understand only in association, in relation to, with something, some given form, name and function. Nama Rupa Karma Sahitam Brahmeva Jagat. Nama Rupa Karma Sahitam Sat Eva Brahma. This whole Jagat is what? Existence, Brahma, with, associated with form, name and function. It just is one small example is Rikshaha, tree. Tree is means tree enjoys existence. So existence is existence of a tree. So existence is associated with a given form. And that particular form is given a name, tree. And itself is also given function. This, the Nama Rupa Karma. So this, what is existence? Existence without Nama Rupa Karma, we call it pure existence. And can we ever experience that? We can never experience pure existence. So that pure existence alone is pure consciousness. If you ask what is pure existence, the pure existence is pure consciousness. The Jagat is not a creation. It's only manifestation. Because there's no cause, nor is there any effect also. And it is how it becomes manifest and becomes unmanifest, that is what we say, we call it a Shakti. It is the power of consciousness, power of the reality. Because of this power, it is very power of the reality. Reality alone is there with its power of becoming manifest and becoming unmanifest. And that power we cannot separate and see what it is. That is why we use the term Maya in the beginning. The unmanifest is Maya and manifest is this universe. Maya and universe cannot coexist. You see, the Jagat is Maya. Maya means what? It's Maya manifest is the Jagat. The power manifest is Jagat. Jagat unmanifest is Maya. This is power we say, Shaktihi. Because it is anirvachaniya, inexplicable, we cannot say what it is. What is only reality? And that reality is Brahma. And that imprinted by the term Brahma, which is nothing but pure knowledge. And you can never, never arrive at the reality any other way. In what form, in what way can I arrive at the reality? Even though the scriptures, we have so many inbuilt methods of unfoldment. The beginning from Drik Drishiveka Prakriya, and Avasthatraya Prakriya, Panchakosha Prakriya, Srishti Prakriya, the Karnakarya Prakriya, Adhyaropapavada Prakriya. Using all these prakriyas, very few prakriyas, but still they're all inbuilt in the Shastram itself. Chidrupeneva Brahma Avagantavyam. Only in terms of its nature of knowledge, you have to arrive at the reality. When you analyze the individual. Otherwise, you arrive at the reality in terms of its nature of existence when you analyze the universe. But even then, you arrive at the reality in terms of its nature of existence when you analyze the universe. And at existence again, what is its existence? Pure existence. You cannot see, arrive at it. You can arrive at the point, okay, what is this universe? That analysis will help you arrive at the reality in terms of its nature of existence. But still, existence also can be understood only when you analyze the individual. Only analyzing individual, you understand, okay, reality, because reality can be arrived at in terms of its nature of knowing. That is where you see this knowledge, the pure knowledge of pure consciousness is pure existence. You get to equate. You had not any equation here. There are not even two here. There's no difference at all. You just say consciousness is existence. Existence is consciousness. One and the same. It is this reality, arrived in terms of its nature of consciousness, which is in the form of existence of the world. Knowledge alone is in the form of existence of the world. It's a very important line. It is knowledge which is in the form of existence of the world. How you say? It is water, the H2O, which is in the form of the ocean full of waves. It is knowledge, pure consciousness, which is in the form of the entire world of innumerable forms, names and functions. And it is this knowledge which is in the form of existence of the world, definitely is of the nature of infinitude, limitlessness. What limitation? It is free from time limitation. Because time itself is not outside of this consciousness. And there's no such a thing called space outside of consciousness. Because for us, in the objective universe, what is big for us? Very big for us, time. No, time is intangible. We can decide time has no form. And the time, everything happens in time. Birth happens, death happens, change happens, old age happens, situations happens, experience happen in time. All experience happen in time. For us, time, this intangible factor called time, for us is something very big, amazing. Time is very tangible. What is time? Then again, next another big thing is what? Space. Because space is something exactly the space begins, where the space ends. That is still not understood. Therefore, space is another big thing. Time and space are two big things for us. Vedanta Shastram logically helps you arrive at the fact that consciousness alone is free from time limitation. Consciousness alone is free from spatial limitation. And because it is consciousness alone, is in the form of existence of the entire world of innumerable countless forms, names and functions, there's no object which is outside of consciousness. Therefore, we say these three possible limitations we count. We say there's nothing which is not subject to the three, four limitations, and consciousness, which is in the form of existence of the world, is free from these three, four limitations. Therefore, it is Ananta Shabdena Suchyate. It is also referred to by expression Ananta, limitless. Because limitlessness, again, you can understand, it is not an object to be seen. Limitlessness also is Swarupam. How can you understand limitlessness? Only when you understand the reality in terms of its nature of consciousness. That is why Shastram has to use all these terms. Chidrupena avagamyate, atmasurupena, then jagataha sadrupena avagamyate. So that vastu, that reality which is arrived at in terms of its nature of knowing, and thereby which alone is understood in terms of its nature of existence of the world, is understood to be of the nature of limitlessness, therefore implied by the term Brahma. And here, what is aham? What is this aham? What is this I? When you say aham, there's no aham which is outside of consciousness. There's no I other than consciousness. Therefore, we have to say what? It is called be, you have to be convinced of the fact aham Brahma asmi.
The moment you say aham brahmasmi, one seems to be implying there are two things. There's aham, there's Brahma.
It is not for saying, it's not for talking about. Aham Brahma Asmi is a vision because you're seeing the fact, because the whole research, the whole analysis, begins as an individual, ignorant individual. And then, in the process of understanding, there's always clarity enhances. Somebody asked me, is it possible to have flash of enlightenment? Because people, suddenly something happens, sudden flash, something happens. I said, for a Mahayogis, great, great, great meditators who have been given to the discipline of meditating for years and ages, for them, because of the discipline, again, secluded life, the focus is very single-pointed. For such people, suddenly happens, it's not because of some flash again. It's a result of ages of hard work. But Vedanta Shastram says, how you understand any mathematical formula or physical formula in your class. Here also, Vedanta Shastram also, systematic study should bless you with this vision. Practical, possible, and also, the whole teaching is focused on preparing your mind. Because nothing is newly attained. It's only understanding what is already there. It's only fact. The fact has to become true to your understanding, for which mind alone needs to be prepared. That is why Sanatana Dharma's focus is in, or emphasis always on how you live your life. How you live your life. This way enforced. Because ultimately, this vision becomes easier and effortless if your preparation is there, mental preparation is there. Anyway, so aham brahmasmi is all for teaching, it's all for understanding purpose we say. Once you understand, then you don't need to say aham asmi also. Sarvam brahmai vasti. I don't need to say brahmasti. Aham idam sarvam you can say. Aham idam sarvam. I am this whole. I am this whole. You don't need to say brahmasti. I don't need to say aham asmi. Don't need to say aham brahma asmi also. You either say aham idam sarvam or brahma okate. You either say what is only Brahman. But before that, to say what is only Brahman, what has to become assimilated is aham brahma asmi. Because tad brahma asti, Tvam Brahma Asi. Shastram says Tvam Brahma Asi. It is as a, when you have identity with your body, mind and complex, then when you want to know what the truth is, then Shastram tells you, you are that reality. You are that reality, which means you just see, understand what you are. Oh, I am a Brahman. Then what am I? Then that analysis, with the help of the Shastram, help you arrive at the fact that you are Brahma. It's the only way of arriving at it. Otherwise, before even studying the Shastram, there is our apatattva, there is some sort of a jnana we have. Everything is Ishvara's creation. Therefore, everything is Ishvara. It's already we have this understanding. It's not very clear for us, but still we see when we use all these expressions knowingly or unknowingly, when you say God is omnipresent, Bhagavan is everything, that is already there. That means you're already accepting the fact everything is essentially one. No, very, very clearly or not, at least somewhere vaguely, you understand the fact everything is one. But it's not very clear at all. So Shastra study actually contributes for a gradual systematic enhancement of clarity. The thinnest layers of vagueness has to resolve gradually. So understanding takes place, but assimilation needs time. So in between how, what, why, if you ask many questions. So a lot of other things we may not know. But this one thing, this fact about this, there's nothing which is subtler than consciousness. That fact can be understood, you can be convinced of that fact. There's nothing subtler than consciousness. Nothing subtler than reality. Consciousness is used to imply reality because you arrive at reality only in terms of its nature of consciousness. Knowing. Therefore, use the term consciousness. And is there anything subtler than consciousness? No. You must be convinced of the fact right now. If there's nothing subtler than consciousness, and consciousness is the subtlest, most abstract, and what is the form of consciousness? What's the form? Again, you are clear. You are very clear. You only understand consciousness not as an object here. The Shastra's study, all these methods of unfoldment have helped you arrive at the consciousness as your own surupam, as the very surupam of knower. See, Avasthatare Prakriya helps you definitely arrive at the surupam of, so arrive at the consciousness as the very surupam of experiencer. There is no experiencer other than consciousness. Experiencer of the waking state, experiencer of the dream state, experiencer of the deep sleep state is one and the same experiencer. The states of mind, the states of experience are different. They undergo changes. Why? That is the nature of the matter. Undergo means not something big and different. One has to go for another experience has to come. That is the condition of the mind. So states of mind or states of experience do undergo changes. And the changes taking place on a part of mental condition is known. Therefore, is experienced. And that experiencer, there's an experiencer who is there changelessly. And that experiencer is again formless. Who is the experiencer there? Who is the knower there? You have to see the fact here. There is no knower. Experiencer. And the experience alone, the presence of the experiencer alone, because the presence of experiencer, experience itself is possible. Because of this illuminator, this experience of the objects is, opaque things is possible. The, similarly, because the presence of experience alone, those, the three different states of mind are known. Therefore, that experience is one and the same, that experiencer is actually formless reality. Experiencer is formless reality. The knower is formless reality. And how, therefore, why does it know? Because knowing is its surupam. Only way you can arrive at the reality. This is the way you arrive at the reality in terms of its nature of knowing. This Puja Swami is typical expression. This is, you arrive at it in terms of its nature of knowing. How, you need some clue. How do you arrive at it? How do you stumble upon it? Well, you arrive at it. You analyze the states of experience. And there you arrive at it. Then once you arrive at it, and that is how the truth is, then further analysis only is what? How that reality is. Is it one? Is it many? No, it's the same. So Shastram helps for us next. You understand? Okay, same reality, obtaining as a Swarupam, arrived as a Swarupam of the knower, which is of the nature of pure knowledge, alone is there as the knower in all the minds. Therefore, knower means there's only one knower. Knowers are not many. The states of mind, the minds which are known are many. And through the minds, you know, the sense powers which are illumined are innumerable. And through these five different sense powers, objects known are again innumerable. Even though fivefold objects obtaining five different forms, but known are many. And known in different times, different places. Objects known are innumerable and known in different timings, different places, different, isn't it? If all of them have, all the known have time limitation, object limitation, and spatial limitation. Even the instruments through which they are known perceived also have time limit, all limitations. And even the mind which backs up the sense organs all subject to limit, time limitations, spatial limitation. Whereas, but that one thing, one reality, only reality, obtaining as the knower in all the minds, one and the same, you are subject to any limitation. Therefore, we understand that Jiva Swarupam is one and the same. Jivanam Swarupam is one and the same. The truth of all the Jivas means all the living creatures, the knower. There's a manifestation obtained of knower. There's no knower other than consciousness, knower other than knowledge. And it is this knowledge which is the existence of all the form known. Knower consciousness is the existence of known forms, names and functions. Therefore, existence is consciousness, consciousness is existence. Means, now the known forms, names and functions are all consciousness essentially. Why? Isn't it? The existence enjoyed by forms, names and functions is a thing but consciousness. Therefore, the forms, names, functions are all essentially consciousness. And everything can be, has to be reduced only to consciousness. You cannot go beyond consciousness. It is this, we say, of the nature of infinitude, limitlessness. Therefore, it is not a cause. You come to the point now. It is not a cause. Not the karanam. It's not a cause. Consciousness is not a cause. So nor is this universe jagat effect. Therefore, there's no creation at all. Therefore, there's no beginning. There's no end. But there is the why do we talk about the beginning and end at all then? If there is no creation, if there is no destruction, if there is no beginning and an end, then why do we talk about beginning and end? We do talk about beginning and end. We do talk about birth and death. So beginning and the end of creation and the birth and death of a jiva, we do talk about. That is because the manifestation has a beginning. The manifestation has an end. This is the answer for Kshanika Vijnanavadi. Manifestation has a beginning. Manifestation has an end. Which means what? There's a time manifestation. Again, what is manifest becomes unmanifest also. Again, that is unchangeable nature of Shakti of the same reality. Unchangeable nature of the power of reality. That is how the power operates. That is how Shakti operates. There's a time it is manifest, a time it is unmanifest. Becomes unmanifest. And this manifestation, because of this manifestation, and what manifest becomes unmanifest, we do talk about the beginning and the end, birth and death. Otherwise speaking, all this birth and death, change, beginning and end, etc., we only with reference to only this objective universe, the material universe. And this again is mithya. There's no absolute beginning. There's no absolute end. There's no absolute creation. There's no absolute destruction. Is everything is not tucham also. Everything is relatively, empirically, objectively real. So vyavaharika satta asti. So jagat, no, beginning of the creation, end of the creation. I mean, beginning of the birth of jiva, the death of jiva. How real it is. Is a real death, is a real death birth, is a real change, real old age. Yes, 10 years ago I was very young, much younger. I was stronger. Now I'm not strong. Relatively, it is real for me. No. Even the old age itself is not real. Absolutely, it is not real. At the same time, we don't say it is tucham. It is not unreal. It is relatively, empirically, objectively real. So what is that? It's all unchangeable nature of what is objectively real is has to be understood as the unchangeable nature of power of reality.
When we say beginning of the creation, end of the creation, or manifestation, we're only talking about it in terms of this, in cyclical terms of it. Not absolute beginning.
That's what.
Absolute empirical.
That's what I'm coming to say though. That is why I want to tell you, this is, it's not unreal. At the same time, it is there. But how real it is, only empirically real, objectively real. So it's only this, all these changes, only vyavaharika satta. Vyavaharikataya satyam, real. This is it's all for conviction only now. It's all for our conviction. Relatively real. The problem is relatively, so what? So what? See, I don't like this. I don't like these changes. Means Shastram says you must be, if you can be considered, you're considered mature only if you're able to understand and accept the fact as a fact. This is a fact. What is empirically real is expression of the unchangeable nature of the power of reality. That is the nature. Swabhava. Shaktehe subhavastu. Aparivartitavya. Nature of the power of reality is unchangeable. It cannot be changed. So once you understand this, then you accept it. Accept it, you are mature. Why? How can we accept it? You have to see there is something which is absolutely real. And that is the source of this power. The absolutely real is the source of the changing power. See, change is only relative destruction. The source of the power is absolutely real. And that is that has no beginning. That is what is real. The source of the power should be taken as absolute reality. In fact, power is reality. Reality is not the power. The source of the power is Brahma, the consciousness, existence, which is of the nature of limitlessness. Therefore, which is implied by the term Brahman or Atma, alone is Satyam. But that alone is Paramarthikam Satyam. We have heard this, not once understood today's new sentence, but it's a conviction. Paramarthikam Satyam. Absolute reality. What is absolute reality? What is absolutely real? Trikala Abadhitam. It has no beginning. It has no end. It doesn't undergo any change. That which is always is, even when the time is not, even when the space is not, that which is, the world is not, that which is always there, knowing nothing being there, knowing the nothingness, is an answer for Yogacara Buddha. There is a Shunyavadi. There is, for both of them, the Mahayana Buddhas, When somebody says, knower also is not there, mithya, not there. Or he says, knower comes and goes. For both of them, only one answer is given. There is a knower. Without having a knower status, without calling, I'm the knower. Without the knower status, only for the purpose of understanding, Shastram uses these expressions. There's a knower. There is no knower. There's no known. There's no, only what is only the truth. The only knowledge. You see, you need to understand all these words, knower, known, knowledge, etc. Ultimately, to negate all of, to say, resolve all of them in only knowledge. Isn't it? So what is it absolutely real? What is that paramarthikam satyam? What is absolute reality? Paramarthikam, paramartha satyam, paramarthikam satyam. What's absolutely real? That which alone is always is paramarthikam satyam. That's the only reality, only truth. There's no second thing other than that reality. Even the Shakti Maya, Maya is simply used, really speaking. The same reality is endowed with this power. This reality, which alone is always, is endowed with this power. Shaktimat Brahma. And what is that power? Is capable of manifesting itself. It is capable of withdrawing itself, its power. This capability on the part of reality of becoming capable of manifesting itself means what? That capability alone we call Shakti. That is the subtlest form of energy. No, in fact, energy also is very gross word actually. Gross, the standpoint of Shakti, energy is very, very gross. So, only reality. There's no second thing other than the reality. And they're not two also. Shakti and reality are not a two, non-dual. Why do we say non-dual? Not two. We have to make it very clear. Not two. They're not two. I say you, fire and power of burning. The fire is endowed with the power of burning. Can you separate burning, power and fire? Are they two? No, advaitaha agnihi. Agnihi, agnihi dahana shaktischa na dvau. Agnihi, agnihi dahana shaktihi. Agnihi dahana shaktihi. The power of burning. Of the fire. Power of burning of the fire and fire. Can you say that? And so dahana shaktiman agnihi. Dahana shaktiman agnihi. Similarly, you can we separate, can we say two, sun and his illumining power? So prakashana shakti, suryasya prakashana shaktihi. And Suryaha. Suryasya. Suryasya prakasha na shaktehescha. Bedaha nasti. There's no difference. It means you can't say Suryaha prakashana shaktiman Suryaha. Prakashana shaktiman Suryaha. Dahana shaktiman agnihi. So srishti sthiti laya. Shaktimat Brahma. Srishti, Sthiti, Laya, Shaktimat Brahma. When Prakashana Shaktiman Suryaha. So the sun who is endowed with the power of illumining is one. Only sun. Sun, I guess many suns are there. Only one sun, we know. One star we know. Sun is one of the biggest stars. Anyway, what I'm saying, Prakashana Shaktiman Suryaha. Similarly, Dahana Shaktiman. Dahana, Jwalana. Jwalana Shaktiman. Jwalati, Agnihi, Jwalati. Why does it, Jwalati, why does it shine? Because Jwalana Shaktiman, Dahana Shaktiman Agnihi. Agni is only one. Do you see separately? Fire goes, Dahana Shakti also disappears. It is not at all countable. Dahana Shakti is not countable separately as a second thing. But we do talk about Agni is popular. What makes Agni popular? It's Shakti. Without the power of burning or shining, do you think Agni would have become popular? No. Similarly, without the power of illumining, who will care for sun? So what makes the sun recognizable? What accessible? The recognizability of the sun is because of its inseparable power. Recognizability of the fire is because of its power. Similarly, Srishti Sthiti Laya Shakti Mad Brahma. It is this makes Brahman recognizable. Enjoying the status of absoluteness. Srishti Shakti Laya Sthiti Shakti Sthanam Layam. All it is possible. The capacity, no, is endowed with the power. Shakti. Shakti Mad Brahma. Because when you recognize Shakti Mad Brahma, and is only Brahma, and secondless also. It is the Brahman, which is of the whole Jagat, secondless, non-dual. So Brahma, consciousness and its power are not two. Just as sun and its illumining power are not two. Fire and its burning power are not two. Consciousness and its power of knowing is not two. The power of knowing alone is the form of the power of creation, the power, capacity to create, capacity to lend existence, capacity to withdraw, resolve. All this is this only in only one power. Three in one. Power of knowing. There's only one Shakti, the power of knowing. That is why Swarupataha Vastu Avagantavyam, only in terms of its nature. So nature is Shakti. Swarupameva Shakti must become very clear. So Bhaktimad Brahma. Is there a Ishwara there? Is there a God, Lord sitting apart from this reality? Where is the God? Where is the Lord? The Ishwara is a qualification. Ishwara is a status. Why? Because of Shaktimatvam. Because of its being reality having, because of reality having this Shakti. Because it has the, is endowed with the power, reality is given at Ishwara status. Shaktimatvat Aishwaryam. Because of its having a status of being endowed, because of its power it's endowed with, it is given Ishwara status. Chaktimadvata Aishwaryam. Lordship is attributed to the reality because of its power. It is not, there's no power otherwise. Independently, there's no power. Shakti onnu kadaiyadu. So Advaitam. Brahma Advaitam. And is there anything second other than this Brahma, Shaktimad Brahma? Okay, Brahma and Shakti are non-dual, that's okay. Is there second thing other than Brahma? No. The time, space, and the whole world is manifestation of that Shakti of Brahman. Therefore, there's no second thing. Understand now? Advaitam, you have to understand, not dual, not two, Advaitam. Is there a second thing other, okay, there's one Shaktimad Brahma. Is anything else other than Shaktimad Brahma? No. Everything here is manifestation of that Shakti of Brahman. Therefore, secondless. Advitiyam. Advaitam, Advitiyam must be understood very clearly. Advitiyam. Dvitiyam means second. Advitiyam means secondless. So, how do you say this advitiyam, secondless? What is other than Brahma? Tell me. start from time. Why start from time? Because time is relatively timeless. Absolutely, time also is time-bound. Relatively, what is timeless? Everything is time-bound. Relatively also, time alone is relatively timeless. Time is relatively eternal, we have to say. So start from time. Time is also manifestation of Shakti. Space is manifestation of Shakti. And all the forms, names and functions, the living beings, non-living things, mobile, all the experiences, all the laws, everything is what we can say mithya, because nothing has independent existence, that everything here is manifestation of the power of Brahma. Therefore, there's nothing which is not Brahma. Brahman is not anything here. There's nothing which is not Brahman. Everything is Brahma. Therefore, there's no second thing other than Brahma. Advitiyam Brahma. Advaitam and Advitiyam. Okay, so how it is now? Yekam. How many consciousness are there? So the Yogacharya is said to be now, come on, there are not many consciousness. According to many manifestations are mistaken. So kshanika vijnanani agatya gacchanti. Agacchanti gacchanta. Agacchanta santi gacchanta santi. They keep on coming and going. Kshanika vijnanam. The many manifestations keep on flowing. That is what is satyam for him. Kshanika vijnanavadi. Whereas we say what now? Sarva vijnanam nitya vijnanam. Sarva vijnanam, nitya vijnanam, Advaiti says what? Nitya vijnanam, there is a eternal, beginningless, endless, changeless, only secondless, non-dual reality obtaining in the form of consciousness, which alone is in the form of existence of the whole universe, and which is in the term Brahma. So nitya Nitya Vijnanavadinaha Advaitinaha. Nitya Sarva Vijnanavadinaha Advaitinaha. Whereas Yogacara Bodha is Kshanika Vijnanavadi. This is the subtle difference between Yogacara Bodha and an Advaiti.
In absolute terms, Ishvara may be Mithya, but in terms of without Ishvara, one cannot even uphold dharma.
No, Ishvara needed
for me to make progress.
Of course, 100%. See, once you're a Vaidika, for us the life is in Ishvara only. First we stay alt for this ultimate vision. We hold for us the life begins with Ishvara only. Life begins means Ishvara comes before us. Beginning of the life itself is what? Ishvara Anugraha. What is Ishvara Anugraha? Blessing is nothing but existence. Existence of Ishvara is itself is the blessing. Existence is blessing. Krupa Anugraha. Existence is blessing. That's why beginning of life begins. Means before beginning of the life, what comes in picture is Ishvara. We do not say Ishvara is not there at all. We say Ishvara is Brahma. We only say there is no Ishvara other than Brahma. That's what we say. We do not deny the existence of Ishvara. For us, denying the existence of Ishvara means denying the existence of yourself. Denying the existence of yourself is denying the existence of the very truth. You become an Astikavadi. We do not deny Ishvara. We only differ from people who hold on to their different views of Ishvara. Vedic concept of Ishvara is what? All that is there is only Ishvara. Such Ishvara is there for us. And that Ishvara is very Brahman. We do not say Ishvara is not there. Be very careful, okay? And when I say there's no Ishvara, other than the truth, there's no Ishvara, I'm saying. Everything is truth means everything is Ishvara. So all that is serious, only Ishvara. See, what this fact is repeatedly said, not to say that Ishvara is not there, just to emphasize the fact, whatever you think as Ishvara, and holding on to your own view of Ishvara, and creating problems in the world to protect that Ishvara, or to serve that Ishvara, is a problem. That is what I just mentioned. Our own way of this, in Vedic culture, we are allowed to worship Bhagavan in any form. You have absolutely freedom to worship and pray in order to grow ultimately. That's why you have your own choice. You can have your own form. If you go and worship something newly, nobody can say you're wrong. No, why? Allowed. It is your wish. Your wish. You can do that. Why? Because everything is Ishvara. Anything you create newly projected is also Ishvara. Everything is Ishvara. Therefore, whatever is going to be created and projected by your own mind also is ultimately Ishvara only. That is why any worship in any form is allowed and accepted in Vedic culture. That freedom is there. When I say there's no Ishvara, I'm not saying there's no Ishvara at all. What I'm saying is, there's no Ishvara other than the truth. For us, Ishvara is a beginningless, endless, changeless, all-pervasive, only reality. That reality is in the form of the whole Jagat, means the whole Jagat is Ishvara. That is why everything in this universe deserves respect. Everything in this universe is revered. Nothing can be taken for granted. The last class I discussed is Yogacharya Buddha. Because he's also very clever, very sharp. Because we don't want to waste our time going into Buddhism and analyzing what or how he argues. If you really listen to the presentation of argument of Yogacharya Buddha, you will be shaken. They also argue very beautifully, intelligently, not ordinary people. But instead of going into details, because we're not interested in studying Buddhism again, but still, we must know the basic fact. What is that basically they say? Now, what is the basis of their arguments? All intelligent arguments they present. Sometimes they vehemently also present and intelligently present. And they non-refutably they present also. I mean, what is the basis of all their arguments? This is the basis. For them, why do they say Vijnanam is Kshanikam? Consciousness is momentary. Consciousness is momentary. Why do they say that? Because for them, consciousness comes and goes. Why? When the consciousness comes and goes, because only when the consciousness comes, for them, when the manifestation of consciousness is there, I know my own existence, first of all. Then I know the existence of the world. How is it possible? I know my own existence. Until I know I am, I cannot know anything else. I must know that I am first. For me to know there is a world around me, people around me, things are happening around me. And I don't know myself if there's no manifestation of consciousness. Therefore, when there's no manifestation, consciousness is not recognizable. Reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness, which is the only secondless source of all manifest knowledge. Only source of manifestation of knowledge is non-recognizable when there is no manifestation. In sleep, for example, I'll give you, when you're fast asleep, there's no manifestation of knowledge. But the source of knowledge is there as very you, as your own sarupam, as sarupam of yourself, as a truth of essential nature of every individual. Consciousness is undividedly, indivisibly, partlessly, as a whole. Even the whole is incomprehensible expression. You know that? Whole is incomprehensible expression. We only say the whole area, the whole world. We say that. do you think you can understand the world whole? No. One thing is must be very clear. Indivisible, undivided, partless, whole consciousness. Isn't it? The pure knowledge, pure consciousness is. When you're fast asleep, that is what is the essential nature of you. Everything in this world, not only you, everything in this world. But then, what is recognized? Nothing is recognized. So recognizability is not possible. Recognizability itself is possible only when there is manifestation. Therefore, Kshanika Vijnanavadi, for him, existence is counted, is countable only from the time of manifestation. Because for him, for existence, it is recognizable only when there is manifestation. I am. I is consciousness. Am stands for existence. I am itself is what? Mixture of sat and chit. I am existence of the self. World is existence of the world. So existence, when the existence is pure, without any nama rupa karma, existence is also non-recognizable. The existence is non-recognizable. Consciousness is non-recognizable. Because they're one and the same. Pure existence, pure consciousness is non-recognizable when there is no manifestation. And he, for him, Kshanika Vijnanavadi counts everything based on from the manifestation only, the time of manifestation only, he analyzes. Analysis begins only from the standpoint of manifestation. Because recognizability. When there's no manifestation, nothing is recognizable. He alone forgets it. Whereas Advaita Vedanti has to go one step further, even when there is no manifestation, when there is no knower known duality, when there is no experience of plurality, when there is no knowledge of the existence of the self also, when nothing is experienced also, still there is knowledge of nothingness. And that knowledge of nothingness is possible because there is something enjoying the status of the knower, not by its action, by its very swarupam. By very swarupam or because of its very nature of knowing, there's something which knows the nothingness. Which has something which knows the non-dual experience. Non-dual experience is possible because of the presence of an experiencer, the knower. And that knower is distinct from the manifestation. Isn't it? This source of manifestation, that knower is this pure consciousness, which is pure existence. Knowledge is manifest, is also manifestation of existence associated with the nama rupa karma. That's why recently, we also say, tam eva pratyaksham brahmasi. They say in Ganapati Atharvaseshu, pratyaksham Brahma is the whole jagat is pratyaksham Brahma. A Brahman is imperceptible. But you say, tome pratyaksham Brahmasi. The whole universe is Brahma, which is Ishvara. So, in fact, we do not deny the existence of Ishvara. We can never deny the existence of Ishvara. Why? Because for us, Brahman manifests the Lord. So whole jagat is Lord. We do not say, no, Bhagavan is not there. We say, what is only Bhagavan? Purataha, Prishtataha, Upari, Adaha, Dakshinataha, Vamataha, Sarvataha, Sarvatra, Sarvam, Ishwaraheva Bhati. No, that's why whole jagat is Ishwara. And to teach us in our Puranas, do you know the age of Puranas? Vyasa's time itself, we do not know. And Vyasa's Puranas and Bhagavata Purana, he has to really, in Bhagavata Puranam, in that Prahlada Narasimha Avatara, he has to say, this Hiranyakashipu comes on, where is your Bhagavan? Kwaso, kwaso, kutrasi, no, where is kwaso, kwaso, where is your Bhagavan? He has to say, where Bhagavan is not. And he just knocks at this, touches this, no, big pillar, and there comes Narasimha. What amazing to show that, to teach this fact, what is only Bhagavan? Nothing which is not Bhagavan. So Ishwaraha, the concept only is emphasized. When you say there's no Ishwara other than the truth means, it is not denial of Ishwara. It is saying there's nothing which is not Ishwara. Any questions?
I just remind Kurumula Thirumandra, Yanatar Toluvargal Silan, Yanatar Toluvan Unai Nani Lane, Yanatar Toluvargal Tolakandi, Yanatar Unai Nan Toludene.
Yeah. That is the final. Yeah. See, this is what I've been telling you from day one. Vedantic vision alone is reflected in all the Mahatmas who men of great vision. So, how much abundance of literature we have, scripture literature. But without Vedantic vision, we go and see, you can only see how much you see here. If you see here and you can understand, if you have the depth of vision, you can understand the depth of Mahatma. We cannot measure the depth of Mahatma's vision having very limited vision. Now you enjoy it. Because the more you see, the more you see in them. That they see how much they see.
Space being manifestation of consciousness. Is it because if, for example, if I'm not there, my consciousness is not there, then there is no space?
Yeah. In terms of See, that's what we say, nothing is created newly, everything is already there. Everything is, we say, everything is perennially eternal. It means nothing is newly, nothing has a beginning here. Nothing has an end here. Everything is eternal. But how it is not absolutely eternal, perennially eternal. Because nothing is created, nothing is destroyed also. But everything seems to be coming and going. Isn't it? It means if there's no manifestation of knowledge, if you don't know you are first of all, and whom does this space evident? The space is evident to you. You are not evident to anything. You know that? Space is evident to you. Suppose your body is evident to others. Like any other body is evident to you, your body is evident to others also. But you are not evident to anything in the world. Very evident to you, which means space cannot enjoy the status of being the existent at all without the manifestation of knowledge. It exists. So what? It doesn't exist when it's as good as non-existent if you do not know you are. And that source, we say, that is why definitely, space also is appearance of consciousness only. Space is appearance of consciousness. Time is appearance of consciousness. And everything is appearance of consciousness. Because if there's no manifestation of consciousness, there's no jagat. That is what Swamiji should say. What a big jagat it is. It's all in here. It's all here means what? He means the mind. It's all in you. That's why the example is given. You would have noticed. Your dream doesn't exist outside of your mind. It's all thoughts. So also, this waking in was also not outside of your mind. Which means, the thoughts do not rise. There's no manifestation. There's no knowledge. See, existence presupposes knowledge. Existence presupposes knowledge, even though absolutely consciousness and existence are the same. And for both, when does the world, when do you recognize existence? Only when the world exists. When do you recognize existence of the world? Only when you exist. When do you exist? Only when you know you are. When you do not know you are, even though you are existence, you do not know you are existent when you do not know you are. I am. No, I should know I am for me to know I am existent. That is why there is no knowledge of the existence on the part of, we call it all, why do we say all non-living things? Why do you call all the inanimate beings non-living things? Why do you call them non-living things? Because there's no knowledge of the existence of the self. In fact, we have to understand the meaning of the word inertness itself from the standpoint of the knowledge. What is inertness? What is inert? Inert is that which does not know, where there's no knowledge of the existence of itself. There's no such a thing called knowledge of the existence of the self on the part of a given object. That's why inert. In fact, to differentiate inertness and consciousness. Inertness, no? That which is the nature of inertness. So all the objects, the entire objective universe, even the living beings are also of inertness only. Your body is alive, still it is inert object. We call it inert shariram. Achetanaha dehaha. Achetanam shariram. Achetanam manaha. Achetanani indriyani. Why do you call them all achetanani? How do you say I'm achetanam? I'm alive. Body is alive. It is conscious. It is sentient. It can function. It can move. It can do things. It feels. There's a feeling. There's experience. Pain, pleasure feeling is there. Somebody mosquito bites me. I can feel. So there's life. Life is, that doesn't mean body, mind, sense complex is chetanam. It is chetanam now, but actually it is still achetanam only. It is jadam only. Jadaha dehaha. Why? There is no knowledge on the part of the body. Body doesn't have the knowledge of the existence of its own self. There's no manifestation of I sense on the part of the body. Understand? Body does not know I am the body. Which is a body here? Many put together is body. There's no body if it's a head, hands, legs, no trunk, feet, the thighs, shanks. Separate them all. Flesh, bone, marrow. Tissues, blood vessels. Remove everything. Imagine if you remove everything, part by part. Give a dip, which is a body. You separate everything, so many aspects. Of course, physically you don't do it. When they're dissecting the body also, dead body. You separate everything, separate them, and body will disappear. You see nerve, you see blood vessel, you see the heart, lung, kidney, all spare parts they take to fix to somebody else. Transplantation. And where is the body? So give a name to every part of the body, everything which is within the body, a part of the body, and then give the names. There's no body. Understand? Similarly here, everything is put together here. It has some names. And there's no such thing called self-consciousness on the part of anything. It's called a jadam. What is jadam? That wherever there's no knowledge of the existence of the self, everything is jadam. Chetana shariram parantu achetanam eva. It is of the nature of inertness only. Now it enjoys it is chetanam because chaitanyam is manifest. Chaitana sayogat, because of the manifestation of consciousness, associated with the manifestation of consciousness, it is Chetanam. It is conscious. Otherwise, it is what? Jadam only. It is not Chaitanyam, it is Chetanam. It is conscious body, but it is body is not, no, consciousness is not the body. Conscious is different from consciousness, isn't it? Therefore, everything known is Achetanam Jadam only. The Jadam Achetanam enjoys existence, enjoys the status of being existent in the light of consciousness. The consciousness is not dependent to come to light, but consciousness also is dependent to become manifest. The power of consciousness itself is what is manifests. That is the power of consciousness. It can, there's manifestation, it becomes unmanifest. There's no knowledge on the part of consciousness as I am also. Understand now? Consciousness does not know it is consciousness. We understand that which is of the nature of knowing is consciousness. Consciousness is of the nature of knowing. You know, light is of the nature of illumining, isn't it? The light does not know it is of the nature of illumining. The knowledge on the part of consciousness, I am consciousness. No. I am itself is manifestation of consciousness. The standpoint of what is manifestation? This human mind is capable of understanding how reality is of the nature of being conscious. Therefore, 100% take it for granted. Existence presupposes knowledge. Knowledge presupposes manifestation of the power of the reality. And reality, the source of the power is to be understood only in terms of its nature of knowing. Therefore, reality is in the form of pure knowledge, which is pure existence, which is free from all limitations. Therefore, Brahma, Atma. Space is manifestation of knowledge. Time is manifestation of knowledge. Everything here is manifestation of knowledge. No doubt. If you understand this fact, what you cannot miss is everything is jnanam. Everything tree is knowledge. You can see beyond what you see. You see the forms, you see the leaves are moving, branches are moving. You see the branches and the flowers and fruits and the leaves and the height of the tree. No, width of the trunk, huge. How huge the trunk is, how deep the roots are, how much it occupies your space, you see everything. Beyond all that you can see, every bit of that object called a tree, you can see nothing but knowledge. When you see it in the presence of the light, you see this chair, each and every leg is light, reflection of light. The seat where you sit is light, the back is light, the whole chair is nothing but reflection of light. Every small bit of chair is what? Whatever you can notice there. You can miss certain portions. It's also what every small thing is. The curve is, a reflection of light. Everything also with the chair is light. Similarly, leaf, the nerve within the leaf, the green current in the leaf, the flower, the petal, the shape of it, the fragrance of the flower, the stamen, tiniest, isn't it? Everything here, even the hardness of the bark of the trunk, the tree, every small bit is knowledge. The whole tree is knowledge. This house you see, it doesn't move. It's inert, jangama, sthavara, a cow or a goat, mobile being you see, knowledge. Immobile you see, knowledge. See, you must be too sharp and sensitive to appreciate this fact. Everything is jnanam. When you look at it, everything has jnanam. We use a different expression with the reverence Ishwaraha. I've answered a question. This is Ishwaraha. Everything is knowledge means Ishwaraha. You can say, do you see the chair or do you see the light? I see chair and the light, you'll say. If you are much sharper, you can say, I just see light in the form of a chair. So just how you see it. Why? There's no light, chair would disappear here. Physical doesn't disappear, but for you, it doesn't disappear. Definitely, it is not there. There's no independent existence at all. Suppose there is any discovery, anything you enjoy, you cannot something bring newly here. You have to make use of what is. Discover what is, make use of what is, and bring in more and more and more of things in the world. Everything is manifestation of knowledge. What came before, what has been coming, what is still coming, what's going to come in future, everything is jnanam, knowledge. When you see everything is jnanam, when you see, don't see jagat, you're seeing Brahma. It's called shifting your vision from the world to Brahma. Ishvara. It's called Ishvara Darshanam. Understand? Ishvara Sakshatkaraha. You discover aham. There's no aham other than truth. There's no other jagat other than truth. And you see what is only the truth. So what is only jnanam. Therefore sarvam Ishvaraha. Vishnumayam jagat. Asavamayam jagat. You see, it is Ishvara Bhagavat Sakshatkaraha. You all had it today. One thing is, you must be dwelling upon it continuously. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamivavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.